The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Friday, December 4th. December is here. And this is the Best Bet Show. This is the podcast where we give out locks and we tell you what to bet on and how to win cash. And the best way to track your cash winnings is on the CBS Sports app. You can go in there and get tons of great gambling advice. In fact, you can watch this podcast on the CBS Sports app very easily. Additionally, you can go in there, you go to the little scoreboard, and you star your favorite teams, the teams that you think that you're betting on, and that's how you can track them. You get alerts throughout the day. It's free. Doesn't cost you a penny. You just get it, and you get, plus you get tons of great stories and information from smart people like RJ White, Kenny White, and maybe even Pete Prisco. Maybe you'll get my picks tomorrow when I finally get around to writing them. The Prisco, we bet on the Steelers and versus the Ravens for the division.
Right. And I just said the Packers and the Lions.
But I threw you a bone with the friggin' Lions because the Ravens are such heavy favorites. Eisenberg and Costa started talking it up and you're need another one. We'll do Lions.
You lost two.
Yeah. But here's the deal. And this is how you pay off your bets because this is what you did to me when you didn't pay me until we got to Vegas. I'll pay you when I see you. The next time I see you, I'll bring the cash.
No, you're not. No, you're not. And I'll teleport to fly you down next week for a couple of days.
Sorry, buddy. You'll get your money in 2023. All right. Let's get to the results. The week 12 records. Kenny, I forgot to email you back. You emailed me like, when is the podcast? I was like, we just,
it's over with.
I went 0-7.
That's hard to do.
It's pretty hard to do. And, my balance sheet reflected it on Sunday afternoon when I thought I was going to get paid out and I didn't. Pete went 2-4.
No.
I'm getting to it. We are going to give Pete a rare gift of kindness in the sense of the holiday spirit. Two of Pete's bets involved the Denver Broncos taking the points against the Saints and in a teaser. So we're going to wipe those from the record. You went 2-2 last week, Pete.
That's the only fair thing to do since we picked on Wednesday because you were gallivanting all over North Carolina Thanksgiving weekend.
So from this point on, since Pete needs that boost for his overall record, then we're not going to count his overall record. So congrats, Kenny. You're in first place overall now.
No, I'm in first place.
Pete's had his overall record reduced. RJ went 4-2 last week, picking up steam as we head towards the end of the season.
RJ's hot. By the way, I went 2-2. And it might have been two of the only games I got right last week. I was terrible.
Yeah, you're full against the spread picture. No bueno. Pete is 42-27-1 against the spread for the year. Kenny, 35-27-1. RJ, 41-37-3. And I am in last place. Whew, 39-39-1.
RJ picks a lot of games. Who's picked the most games? RJ?
Yep.
Yeah, RJ picks a lot of games.
So far in the NFL season.
Favorites in the NFL, 2 points or higher. I didn't use 1 point favorites or 1.5. 2 point favorites or higher, 64-84 with 5 ties, 43% they're cashing this year.
Wow. So dogs are just barking like crazy.
Dogs are barking, and it's been big. Last week was 10-5 for the dogs.
Yeah, except the dogs I took didn't bark.
I mean, I wonder if you could always just take all the dogs.
These trends usually turn around, but this one doesn't have to because bookmakers aren't going to adjust because they're winning. So they're not going to make any adjustments. They're going to keep making the favorites as high as they can make them, and people are laying it. So,
well, let's start with one big dog, the dog pound headed to Tennessee, Cleveland at Tennessee playing the Titans. Titans -6 with an over under of 53.5, Pete.
Game's going to last 2 hours and 25 minutes because they're going to pound the ball and pound. That's the number one and number two rushing teams in the league. you know, I watched the Browns today on tape against Jacksonville. They're not very good on defense, to be honest with you. That concerns me a little bit with my play here. But even so, I'm still going to take the under. I think it'll be a lower scoring game. Neither defense is great, but I think they're going to run the ball. The team that established, they're both established to run. They're both good on the offensive line. They both run the football, and that'll slow the game down. And so I'm going to go with the under. And if I had to take a team, I would lay the points. And I don't usually like laying that many points in a game of this caliber, but after watching the Browns, I don't think they're that good. I really don't. Baker Mayfield is not accurate. He should have had a lot more throws last week. He's missing throws. They don't scare you down the field at all. And I think defensively they have a lot of limitations. So I would lean to the Titans, but my best bet is the under.
Yeah, I don't think the Browns are very good either, but they're not 6 points worse than the Titans, who aren't as good as their record indicates either. So my best bet's the Browns plus six. Browns defense looked bad last week. They're getting Myles Garrett back. That's going to cause trouble for the Tennessee offensive line. We know Taylor Lewan's out for the season. So I think he can get after the passer, and you know, Tennessee won't be able to throw as easily as they did in a game against an Indy team that was shorthanded on defense. And so Tennessee coming back here, I think this is a letdown spot for them after winning that huge divisional game. Tennessee's D is nowhere near good enough to shut the Cleveland offense down. 28th in DVOA, 30th in red zone success rate, and 32nd on third downs, which is a key one there. So even if Baker is bad, I think they can still convert on third down against this defense. So Tennessee is the better team to me, but the look-ahead line of Tennessee minus three was closer to reality than this six-point line. So I love the Browns here.
I like the game over. And it's because when you know what the circumstances were in a game, you kind of put a line through it. Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns played against the Vegas Raiders. It was windy and rainy, and the final was 16-6. The next week against Houston, windy and rainy, and you couldn't do anything on offense. Cleveland won 10-7. The next week against Philadelphia, the rain definitely affected play. Except for that game came out 22-17. But I believe there was three touchdowns that should have been scored. There was two turnovers inside the five going in, and Philadelphia couldn't get in on fourth and one from the half-yard line. So there was a lot of points left off the board in that game right there. Last week they went over. Tennessee was 10-3 over last year, their last 13 games. They're 7-2 over their last nine games this year, because both these teams' defenses are well below average and both teams' offenses are pretty darn good. So I think this is back and forth. I think they can both get to 30 points here.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, overs are 17-3-1 with Ryan Tannehill starting for the Tennessee Titans. The thing I'm with Pete. I look at this game and think, oh man, these two teams run so much. They're going to, you know, keep the clock moving. There's not going to be a ton of points, but I think in Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry, and A.J. Brown, you just have some really, really explosive players. And so I think you're going to get a couple of long touchdowns. Tennessee and Cleveland both have been sort of advantageous in terms of their production on defense. And I just don't see how – I think they're just going to feed Derrick Henry again, and it's going to result in a bunch of points. Like he unlocks everything for Tennessee. So if I was going to take something here, I think it would be the over, even though it kind of goes against my initial thought process of
taking. By the way, Arthur Smith should be a head coach next year.
Yeah, absolutely. He's I think anybody who questioned his how he got his job, his dad's fairly wealthy.
Very wealthy. He owns FedEx.
Yeah, he owns FedEx, right? I mean, people, I mean, yeah, you could have thought there could have been a little.
I checked around to guys I trust in the league this week because I'm trying to get an idea of some of these coaches, and I don't know Arthur Smith, but I heard he's the real deal. And players respect the hell out of him, and he knows how to deal with players. And I'm telling you, somebody is going to get themselves a heck of a coach because he worked his way to get that job. He didn't get it because of who he was. He worked his butt off to get that job.
Yeah, and he was a tight end coach for 8 years for Tennessee. I mean, he put his time in to get promoted to OC, and 2 years offensive coordinator, and the offense has been tremendous.
Yep. Yeah, it has. I mean, he basically turned Ryan Tannehill into a borderline MVP candidate.
Yep.
After Adam Gase tried to ruin him. Patriots at the Chargers, the over under 47.5. The Patriots and Chargers game is a pick 'em, Pete.
I'm bucking trends here. And I know the trend of Belichick against rookie quarterbacks. What is he, 20-5 against them? Isn't that what it is? And the make of their, against starting against him, 20-5, something like that. I'm bucking that trend. And the reason I'm bucking that trend is because I don't think this kid plays like a rookie quarterback. Even when things weren't going right last week, and there were a lot of things that went wrong in that game, particularly his offensive line, which really struggled at times, he sat in there and hit some throws. If they caught the ball, they would have had a lot more completions. I think he's the real deal. And so I think that Patriots team, and I love Belichick and what he does on defense, but they don't have the talent that they've had in years past, and I think that he's going to have an opportunity to carve them up. So I'll take the Chargers at home as one of my best bets, and I am bucking that trend.
Herbert doesn't play like a rookie quarterback, but his coach is like a rookie coach.
Yes, he does.
You definitely want – if the game's going to be close, like this line indicates, you definitely want Belichick over Lynn. You trust him in closer situations than you do Lynn. The New England defense has showed up in two of the last three, so I do think they might be able to slow up Herbert a little bit. I wouldn't have trusted them 3 weeks ago. The New England offense wants to run the ball. Third in attempts, fourth in DVOA. Chargers can't stop the run, 31st in DVOA. So I think it's going to be a big run game where New England can get up, and then it's on Herbert to rally him back. And I don't know if he'll be able to do it. So I got a best bet, Patriots, pick them for me.
Opposite.
Of course. Got to try to catch up.
I passed on this one. I thought the number was right, but I like RJ's analysis with – when you're talking about a coaching, it is a coaching mismatch in this football game. And you know what? I do like the way Cam Newton played not last week. He was horrible against Arizona, but the three previous weeks, he actually showed some signs of life and is actually rated out a little better than above average quarterback for three straight games. First time he did that this year. It was his best three-game run of the entire season. So he's picking it up a little bit. I thought the defense was better. I was surprised to see the DVOA at 31. For the Patriots in the NFL. That kind of surprised me a little bit. I think their defense is a little better than that. They're not great, but they're not 31st.
It was 32, so they're getting better.
Hey, yeah. By the way, Kenny, on the rundown, it says you have the Patriots as the best bet.
Yeah, I think when you emailed it in, you had the Patriots, but it was on a different game, and it said Patriots, so maybe we're missing a game for you for someone else.
I have them three, and I like the coaching mismatch, but I looked at my Word document right here. It doesn't have anything. Oh, I put the Patriots on the Packer game.
Yeah.
You know what it is? You're doing like one of those touts. You're giving half the country one peg and half the country the other.
Don't even put my name in that syndicate. I've never done that, never will.
I know. I'm kidding with you.
I just sorted for, and I know that the actual number that we have is 24 and 5 straight up against rookie quarterbacks. I just searched for it in, maybe that includes playoffs too, and I didn't include this with the, I looked in Stathead and I got a result of 20 quarterbacks. The only two in this list to beat Bill Belichick since 2000 as rookie quarterbacks. Geno Smith, notable. I guess Ben Roethlisberger, Mark Sanchez, and Colt McCoy got him in 04, 2009, and 2010. And then Geno Smith in 2013 and Russell Wilson in 2012.
Oh, it's five.
It's five total, yeah.
Yeah.
But two of those are the Jets, right? And the Jets had good defense and Rex Ryan. That's his Super Bowl. One of those was Big Ben when the Steelers were awesome in 2004 and had a great defense. And then Russell Wilson, who's a special Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, also playing for an elite level defense in the Seahawks. Remember that famous Richard Sherman after the game, like, you mad, bro, to Tom Brady. That's not the Chargers. The Chargers are not one of those teams. And I know Justin Herbert has played awesome, and he is – each week making me look like a stupid fool. Pete, you've got my number. You got $200 from me coming at some point, and you almost have already won the Herbert bet 10 weeks in. Like it's a, oh! I'll dunk on myself.
I like hearing that.
You want the Kevin Harlan one?
Oh, ho, ho! Yeah.
At any rate, I don't care. Anthony Lynn is a bottom three coach in the NFL. This guy ran the football with 26 seconds left on first and goal. And no timeouts remaining. Instead of spiking it or instead of taking a pass play. Well,
forget about that. How about when he was kicked a field goal down 10? I mean, didn't kick a field goal down 10.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
He was going to do it again. And then they called timeout because he didn't know what he was doing. And they did kick the field goal.
He's, by all accounts, a very good human being and a very
he's
nice
a good,
person.
He's a, yes.
He sucks his ass.
I think you could go back and rewind to maybe week two or week three. I think I said the identical same thing.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
And I know that the Patriots aren't the Patriots of old, but they're it's going to outcoach him, and they're going to win the game straight up. You don't have to lay any points. Give me the Patriots as a best bet. Rams -3 at Cardinals. Over under 48.5. What do you think, Pete?
The Rams went to Tampa and looked fantastic. and dominant. And I think they got a little full themselves. In fact, I had the 49ers as one of my best bets last week. I thought they would, I didn't know if they'd win the game, but I thought they'd hang around. That number was bloated and it actually came down a little bit. This number is right. The Cardinals just haven't, they've looked disjointed on offense. Murray hasn't played the way I thought he would play in the last couple of weeks. And so I'm going to go with the Rams. I think McVay in this spot will get his team back up again. That was a tough loss. It was a bad loss. I think the Rams will cover this number and win the game. So I'll take the Rams. Best bet.
The value appears to be on Arizona on the face of it. You know, it's 3-point home dogs here, similar teams in the division. But Kyler doesn't look right. Arizona's offense topped 430 yards in five straight games, then averaged 306 yards the last 2 weeks. And then Rams defense is a tough matchup for anyone. Number one in points per drive. They're good versus the run in the pass. But the Rams offense has 11 turnovers in the last four games. They're only 23rd in points per drive on the season. So if I was taking anything in this game, I would lean to the under 48.5. It's an important game in a playoff race. I think we could see a conservative game on both sides for these coaches, but I don't really love the spread either way, but lean to the under.
Yeah, I'm on the Rams. They're just the better football team, both sides of the football. Arizona's been vastly improved this year. Kyler Murray was great early on, but he has come back to earth a little bit the last 3 weeks. And they're 0-4 ATS the last 4 weeks. And a lot of travel, you know, up to Seattle, out to New England, back home here, no fans. Rams have had some travel of their own to Miami and Tampa and played San Francisco last week. They played a close game, but that's a really well-coached football team. So still not sold on Cliff Kingsbury. If he's the guy, I think McVay's the better coach in this game. And well-balanced, both their offense and defenses in the top 10 in DVOA. Arizona starting to get a couple injuries on defense again, and they start to get banged up a little bit. That defense falls quick. So I'll take the Rams coming off a loss.
Yeah, Rams are my favorite bet of the entire week. They defensively match up really well with what Arizona wants to do. Jalen Ramsey can lock down DeAndre Hopkins or at least minimize his presence there. And I think then you're going to have Aaron Donald just cooking against a Kyler Murray, a less mobile Kyler Murray who doesn't want to take hits because his arm is banged up, is losing some of his accuracy, is not running the football as well. They started getting going when he was running the football. They need that. They don't have it. I think they struggle offensively. I think the Rams blow them out and we get a final score of like 31-10. So I will take the Rams and I will also take the under as a best bet. If I were wagering my, I don't want to say harder money because, you know, talking about football with you guys. But if I were wagering my personal cash on this, I would do two units on the Rams and one on the under.
That way. Wait, this is your best bet of the entire week?
The Rams.
Oh, maybe I should change my pick then.
All right. Wait, Kenny, do you have sports line tonight? You don't, do you?
No, I don't. So we're good.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, Thursday night, I texted Rob to be like, hey, don't call Kenny like 5:58. He's like, no, there's no football. He's not on. Okay. All right. Well, then no rush.
I don't know why they call every time they call like 2:50 or 5:50.
Surprised they didn't create. I'm surprised they didn't create a segment where Kenny can pick apart my power rankings.
Oh my God. That was ridiculous. we did 30 minutes on like, it's like, Adam Gase admits he's hasn't done a good job with Sam Darnold. It's like, yeah, you're 0-11 or whatever. It's like, yeah, no kidding, pal. He's hurt. You can't win games. Anyway,
I love when you try and pick apart my power rankings. It just makes my day.
I mean, they were like, give us five things about Pete's power rankings that you don't like. I was like, I don't want to read this article. Like, what do you want me to do?
It's only a 2-minute read. Come on.
Broncos at Chiefs. It is a 2-minute read.
Broncos and Chiefs,
Chiefs minus 14, over under 51, Pete. You going back to the Broncos?
Yeah, I am. They actually have a quarterback this week. Backdoor is coming. You guys know how much I love Patrick Mahomes and love watching that offense. And they're clicking right now. And all that stuff, we'll try the running game. We'll do this. We'll do that. Well, that's gone to the side. It's back to being Patrick Mahomes, throwing it around, you know, all over the place. But I think that the defense still has some issues, and I do think that they're going to get a backdoor cover here. So I'll take the Broncos as one of my best bets.
Yeah, this is a lot of points against a good defense. KC won 43-16 in the first meeting, but it was their only game of the year. They went under 300 yards of offense. They got a lot of turnovers in that game that helped them out. The KC defense is weak against the run and in the red zone, so I could see Denver getting to 20 points here. So, yeah, I would lean to Denver, but with the offensive DVOA rankings of 1 and 32 between these two teams, I don't feel super confident about backing Denver because it could easily also be 45-10, you know, and nobody would question it.
Yeah, I don't think Denver's 32nd though, on the offensive end. Obviously, there's been some games where, you know, take last week's game, just throw it out early in the season. This team had a lot of injuries on offense. They're about 24th, 25th in that spot. They're not great, but yeah, I think they have enough to stay within this number. This is such a big number. Kansas City has to have a letdown sooner or later. They just played such a demanding schedule, it seems like. But they're 0-3 ATS. I mean, they beat their last, six teams, but they haven't covered the spread the last 3 weeks. So, 14 is such a big number in the NFL. Home revenge. Denver lost earlier this year. And as Pete said, hey, they got a quarterback. They got three quarterbacks this week. Locke, Driscoll, and, Rippon are all eligible to play. So big upgrade. Last week was amazing. Kendall Hinton was probably the lowest rated quarterback I've ever had in the NFL game, except for until last night when RG3 surpassed that. But it was an 11.5 point drop off from Drew Locke to Hinton.
Jeez. And that wasn't enough.
There still wasn't enough. You're right. Enough.
Well, I mean,
you can't really say that. I mean, you could say it's a drop off, but you can't say it's not enough because the game flow was different with no ability to make a play. Don't you agree?
Yeah, well, that's what I say. It could have been worse. I mean, it could be worth more than that because he wasn't able to get any game flow going.
I mean, in hindsight, it came back up at 15, Saints minus 15, and closed at like Saints minus 17. Whatever the number was, it was free money. Like the Broncos just couldn't do anything on offense. And I think that's sort of an interesting contextual point here because so the Broncos were plus 15 to the Saints without having a quarterback.
And you know, they caught
14 with three healthy quarterbacks.
Teams have been able to run with a Wildcat, several different teams. I know the Dolphins did it years ago.
Yeah,
they had to go to the Wildcat and they did it efficiently. You know, it's like running the option in college football where you don't have a passing quarterback. You figure out how to make those blocks, figure out how to get the holes. You grind it out 4 or 5 yards here and there and you keep the football and you end up getting the end zone. That team, Denver, had zero time to practice that type of offense. And then they throw Hinton in there and play quarterback, you know, 4 or 5 years. So, that was,
it wasn't really even a good quarterback to begin with.
No, he wasn't. He did a nice game.
Well, before he tore up his knee, he wasn't awful though.
Yeah, he wasn't too.
Yeah.
He did an admirable job. We give him credit for it, but I would probably lean Broncos here too. We talk about all the dogs, how they've been barking. The Chiefs have been playing really well. And I think, you know, if you want to take like the chalky approach to this or like the donkey approach, you look at this game and you think, well, 14 is a lot, but I don't want to get in front of Patrick Mahomes. He's the MVP right now. He's playing really well and they could cover, but Andy Reid isn't a foot on the gas guy either. You know, he's not the sort of guy who's going to just blow somebody out just to annihilate him. He'll ease up late in the game. Bills minus one at the 49ers over under 48. Pete, your boy Josh Allen. I don't know if this is a big spot or not, but he needs it.
It's a pretty big spot. This isn't the best bet for me. I had a tough time with this game because I have nothing but the utmost respect for the 49ers and what Kyle Shanahan has done. I loved them last week. They're just a tough, physical team. And if they get into the playoffs, they're going to be a team nobody wants to play. I can tell you that because they're going to get guys back. They might have Garoppolo back. They probably could have Kittle back. But in this game, I'm going to lean to the Bills. They're not bad for – I do like Josh Allen to go out there and throw it around. Remember, the last time they were in this building, they lost on the Hail Mary. I think this time it won't come to that. They'll find a way to win the game. I'll take Buffalo minus the one.
This line was Buffalo minus 2.5. It's steamed towards San Francisco. Despite it not being Bills at 49ers, it's Bills versus 49ers on a neutral field. This game's going to be in Arizona. And for that reason, I love best bet Buffalo. I think they're definitely 1 point better than the 49ers with what they've shown. San Francisco's defense got healthier off the bye, and they showed up last week. But so did the Buffalo defense. I mean, Buffalo's defense played way better than they have previous to the bye. That San Francisco offense had their fifth straight game with multiple turnovers. Buffalo's defense is fourth in turnover percentage. So I think that could be another thing that plays into their favor. So with me having Buffalo graded as a far better team, Mullins at quarterback for San Francisco, laying only one on a neutral, I think I got to go best bet Buffalo here.
All the way. Buffalo all the way. They are the better football team. I've got them 4.5 points better than San Francisco. And you mentioned it, RJ, playing in Arizona, both teams have to travel. So there's no home fans. So if they were playing in San Francisco, but at least if you were playing at home, you don't have to get on the airplane and travel and go through all that. But You're doing it this week. They're still down in talent. Yeah, they may get some players back soon at the end of the year and could help, but they've had such tremendous losses, especially on the defensive side and in the trenches with Thomas and Ford and Bosa. Those guys are just, you can't replace them. They traded Alexander. Too many losses. Great coaching job. But after playing the Rams, and that tough defense and their physical, it's probably a beat up team. Buffalo would be ready for this game. I think Buffalo's, probably my best bet is, as Will said, he'll put two units on the Rams earlier. I'll put two units on the Bills this week.
Man, I kind of like the 49ers, but now you guys got me scared. I don't know if this counts. I mean, they are technically a dog, right? But it was three and then opened back up at one for some reason. I guess because they moved from San Francisco to.
They changed sites. Two and a half down to one.
Oh, wait. So they moved out of San Francisco.
That doesn't make sense. It would move the other way.
It would move the other way. No, you're right. But they did. They were 2.5 point favorite in San Francisco. That was the opening line.
The Bills were, right?
Yeah, the Bills were 2.5 in San Francisco.
That's very stinky.
Yeah.
You guys are intriguing me with your Bills selections, but I'm going to lean towards the 49ers here and I'm going to pick them against the spread. I won't make them a best bet or anything like that. Although it would be actually, you know what? Screw it. I need to call back this thing.
That was the early line though. The Bills were the 2.5 point favorite before they played the Rams.
And that's why
it was adjusted down.
I'm going to go on a limb here. I'm going to take the 49ers. I know the Bills, as Pete tweeted out on Thursday, are playing much better defense. Josh Allen's a good player. I'm just going to trust Robert Saleh and Kyle Shanahan and the coaching. They know that they're on the fringe here and that they can kind of make a playoff run. They are not out of it yet. It sounds insane, but they win a couple of these games coming up. They've got a pretty decent schedule. They can make a move and get back in the playoffs as a wild card, get Kittle back, get Garoppolo back, if Garoppolo matters, and figure out a way to maybe steal some games. I'm not saying they're going to make a Super Bowl run or anything, but I am not counting out the 49ers, and so I will take them as a best bet.
By the way, they should enjoy Saleh for the next whatever run they're on because he'll be a head coach next year too.
So we got six coaching jobs. You think Saleh, Smith, Bieniemy? Does Bieniemy definitely get a job? I couldn't help by Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy.
Yeah, he'll get interviews. I don't know if he'll get a job, but he'll probably get one.
Okay, Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders are 8-point favorites on the road at the Jets. Over under 47, Kenny, what do you think about this game?
Yeah, I like the Raiders a little bit. The only thing that worries me is, you know, I don't really play on off weather, cold weather for indoor teams. I'm not a big believer in that. Most of these guys have played college football. They played high school football. They did play outdoors. They played in cold weather. It's just that affects bad teams. Good teams, it doesn't. This is not a good team. They're an average football team. They have impressed me, but coming off the loss and the beating they just took, Gruden is going to be all over this football team. And I think they come out and they put up as many as they want against the tanking Jets. The Jets just don't have it. They just don't, they're hobo offense. They're all on defense. One of the worst teams in the NFL and they like it. That's the way they like it. They want it that way. So I just don't see them being very competitive. Last week, if they were going to be competitive against somebody, it would have been Miami for Adam Gase, and they still weren't competitive. So this is a team that's just going the wrong direction.
Yeah, looking back at last week, I loved the Jets last week. It seemed to line up well, but it turns out Adam Gase can scarper any of that because he's a terrible coach. If he's not intentionally taking at this point, I mean, I don't see how he gets a job again. That's got to be playing it off whenever he goes into interviews at this point. Be like, yeah, no, that was intentional. Vegas ranks 32nd in points per drive. I have to believe if Gase is trying at all, he can get his team to 20. So if I do think that they're going to try in this game, I would go over 47. But it's just a lean because I don't know what to expect out of the Jets. I'm not going to lay that many points with the Raiders either. So I'm just going to stay away here.
By the way, I had the Jets as one of my best bets. I thought they could actually win the game outright last week. And if Sam Darnold doesn't throw that interception at inside the 20, they might have won the game or at least covered that number. So, but I'm going to go with Kenny on this and lean to the Raiders. And the reason I lean to the Raiders is his exact reasoning. They were terrible last week. They were flat coming off the big Kansas City game. They'll be focused here. Gruden will get them back on track and they'll score a bunch of points. So I'll take the Raiders. I'm not a best bet, but I'll lean to the Raiders as well.
They were so flat. I think they fumbled 10 times.
That was awful. It was an awful performance.
If you look at the stats, the Falcons didn't even play that well.
No, the Raiders kept giving it to him.
Just got gifted a bunch of turnovers.
And I had Atlanta as one of my best bets, I think, last week. And so I thought they would win the game, but I didn't think it would be that bad. That was awful.
I really want to take the Jets here. I mean, the only thing is that if the Raiders hadn't played that bad last week, I would love the Jets in this spot.
Me too.
We had this game last year. The Raiders came across the country against a Jets team that wasn't that good, and they just got beat up bad. And I know you point to the weather, Kenny. I know you mentioned everybody
in the early start.
It's an early start. I can't find it because friggin' Stathead is Pro Football Reference has to fix Stathead. This is out of control. It is so hard to use now. It used to be so easy. I could find anything in seconds. I can't find anything with Stathead. It drives me nuts. I was trying to find.
They were the Oakland Raiders last year. 34-3 was the final score.
Yeah, but that Jets team went 6-2 down the stretch. That's a different team.
It's a different team, but here's sort of my point. One, Debo, were you about to say something about that? Oh, I heard something. I was going to say that the problem with I don't think Derek Carr plays well in cold weather. I don't think he's from like Fresno, California.
Yeah.
He never played in cold weather. Traveling east, John Gruden's team stink. Derek Carr is not good in cold weather. It's going to be 15 miles an hour wind. And when you look at what the situation here, you can't really run that well against the Jets. They might be missing Josh Jacobs. And that means Derek Carr is going to have to throw in a bunch of bad weather. I know the Jets are terrible. I just got a sneaking suspicion this is the week.
By the way, this is the last game the Jets have a chance to actually win one.
Correct. This is the week.
They play at Seattle, at the Rams, first against Cleveland, and then at New England. They're not – unless week – it would be great in week 17 if Belichick says, I don't want them to get Trevor Lawrence. I'm not going to play my guy.
That's not even out of the question.
It could be Cleveland. We just said Cleveland's not as good as their record.
Yeah, but this Jets team is terrible, though, RJ. Come on.
Jets win this week. I got the Jets outright. I'm going to take the Jets against the spread. I don't want to make it. I'll make it a best bet. Screw it.
I learned my lesson on taking the Jets as a best bet last week. That ain't happening again.
I'm done. Me too.
All right. Lions at the Bears. Bears -3.5. Kenny, over under 44.5.
I like the Lions. The coach getting Beyer was the best thing that could ever happen, and it worked for Atlanta. They were 0-5. I think they're 4-2 since then. It worked for Houston. They were 0-4, and they got a winning record. They're both covering point spreads. But you know the big thing is we just saw Chicago. That offense is not going to improve. They're not going to get any better. They're 28th in DVOA right now. They're the 32nd offense in the NFL. Their defense is fourth, but you know what? Without Hicks in the lineup, Green Bay, anybody does whatever they want against them. I read a story the other day. I didn't go back to look at it. I didn't document it, but it said last year when Hicks did not play, the Bears allowed twice as many points per game to their opponent than when he did play. One guy, and he's a beast. And he stops the run. I don't know if he's 100% healthy. I just think the Lions are going to have a nice, easy game here. And I think that Stafford has a big game, there's a big advantage at quarterback. I don't think there's a big difference in talent between these two teams. Just Matt Patricia really underachieved with what he had. So I'm taking the Lions here. And I hope Hicks doesn't play. If he doesn't, I think the game you'll see go to pick.
Well, it seemed like he was really close to playing and he got ruled out just before the game. So I would expect him back here, but you're right. He might not be 100%. This is absolutely textbook fired coach bounce here. Players seem to loathe Patricia. Not like they did, Atlanta. They didn't loathe the coach there. They didn't loathe the coach in Houston, I don't think, but it seemed like all the ex players in Detroit really went in on Patricia after he got fired. So Detroit played Chicago in week one with no Kenny Galladay. So even if he doesn't come back here, they've been in this situation before. They racked up 426 yards of offense. Then they collapsed late. The beginning of the end for Patricia was in week one. Chicago couldn't have looked worse coming off a bye playing their biggest rival. If they were going to show up, it should have been for that game against Green Bay and then make that a game. And they didn't. So I think this could be another close game that comes down to a field goal. If you can get the hook here with 3.5, you got to love the Lions. So I have them as a best bet too.
I don't have either one as a best bet, but I'd lean to the Bears. And the reason I'd lean to the Bears is Trubisky's actually played well against the Lions in some of those games. And so I do think he showed some life in the fourth quarter. Yeah, it was garbage time. But the Lions are terrible too. I mean, okay, Patricia was a bad coach, but that team stinks. I mean, the defense is terrible. He can't rush the passer. They don't cover anybody. They're not very good on defense. And so, what's the strongest unit on the field in this game? It's the defense of the Bears. And so I'll take lay the 3 points with the Bears.
No way. Dead cat bounce. It's worked all season long. It's going to work again. It's what is it, the Goldilocks? The porridge is, too cold, too hot, just right. That's the Matt Patricia thing. Like if Bill O'Brien falls in the middle, Dan Quinn's too cold, Matt Patricia too hot. Or maybe he's the too cold guy. I don't know which one it is, but he is hated by this. Those guys were having mimosa parties at the end of the season because they didn't have to play for him anymore last year. They're going to come out. They're going to play well. My one concern here is Kenny Golladay. I just need Kenny Golladay to play and the Lions will upset the Bears as their fraudulent spiral continues. Suck it, Bears. You stink. Lions outright. Saints at Falcons. Pete. Saints minus 2.5, over under 45.5.
I'm going to continue a trend that I've had every week. If the game had played in Denver last week with the actual quarterback, I still think they had a chance to win that game. I'm going against Taysom Hill every single week. He is awful with a capital A. Everybody gets so caught up in Taysom Hill mania. You know what it is? He's the right-handed Tebow. That's what he is. Oh. He can run. He can move around. Yeah, he throws the ball a little bit better than Tebow, but not much. And I think the Falcons have seen him already. They understand what he does and doesn't do. They lost to him at home. He didn't barely even do anything in that game, and people were raving about him. So I think that was a game where the Falcons couldn't protect him. I think they'll protect better here, hit some shots. I'll take Atlanta to win the game outright. Taysom Hill.
Atlanta's look great under Raheem Morris. Aside from that first New Orleans game, time for revenge here. You know, I would lean to the Falcons on the line. New Orleans coming off that weird Denver game. Maybe it messes with their rhythm. They switched up their game plan, you know, the night before and decided to just be run and not bother throwing the ball. So New Orleans more of a rushing offense with Taysom, but Atlanta's D is sixth in DVOA against the run. I do think Atlanta's going to win, but at 2.5, I can't resist teasing them up through 3 and 7 here. So Falcons are going to be part of my teaser this week.
I didn't put in a play on this game, but I'm playing it under, and I agree with Pete that Taysom Hill is not a good quarterback, and he is the right-handed Tebow. 4 straight unders for the Saints, and Ryan Morris, since he's become the head coach, this team slowed down. They're playing better defense, and they're under 4 of their last 5 games. I think it's a big game, obviously, within the division. Both teams' defenses are tough. I'm going to go under the total here.
I think that's a good call. I like, and the under is suspiciously low for a Saints Falcons game at 45.5. Plus the second divisional matchup, typically you see less scoring, a little bit tighter. They know some things about them. And yeah, Raheem Morris, he's looking for a head coaching job. I hate giving interim coaches the full-time job, but I think they at least got to look at him, right, Pete?
They'll look at him.
You think he gets it?
Look, Raheem was very immature in his first job. I mean, he'd be the first one to admit that he wasn't ready for it.
So we had LeGarrette Blount on the Twitch stream for Fantasy Football Today on Sunday, and he was like, "Yeah, he's just too young, man. Like he was 33 when he got hired. It's crazy."
Yeah, and he did put all the work in. He'd be the first one to tell you he wasn't ready for it.
Yeah. I think he's another guy who deserves a head coaching job, and if he keeps winning in Atlanta,
they're not out of it yet either.
Now that would be something.
I mean, if they have to
hire him.
Clearly, they have to run the table, but they're not out of it yet either. That seventh spot could go to a team with a, 8-8 record?
It's possible. And there could be an 8th spot, too. I don't think it's right. Likely.
But no, has there been any more talk about the NFL adding another team?
If they have to play week 18, they will.
It's okay. Only if they can do it for whatever reason they want, I think, right?
They're only going to do it if they go to 18, though.
If they did add another team and went to 8, they would go then by winning percentage, which would make the NFC least winner the bottom team, and they would play the 1 seed on the road.
No, they said they're not going to reseed.
No. They're not going to reseed?
No. They're not going to reseed.
Okay.
Here's the other thing. What it essentially does, if you go to the 8th playoff team, is you don't reward the 1 seed.
Right.
Exactly. Well, that's why I thought it would be a great idea, because why do you want the Washington Redskins to be the 3 or 4 seed? You know?
Yeah, I think they should recede for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Eagles at Packers. Packers minus 8.5. Pete over under 47.
Yeah, the Eagles are dreadful. Let's be honest about it. They're bad.
Carson Wentz is the right-handed Taysom Hill.
No, he's not. It's a bad team. The team stinks. The offensive line can't block. He gets hit on every play. Now he's holding the ball. Now his eyes have come down. The receivers are bad. It's a bad offense. They still play decent defense at times coming after the quarterback. But against Rodgers, forget about it. He's going to carve them up. And they're not good enough on offense to compete. I'll lay the 8.5. The big number, really big number. I hate this, but I'm going to lay the 8.5 anyways.
My worry is this is a sleepy spot for Green Bay after taking it to Chicago last week, and Philly's D looks solid. Hard to expect much from the offense, 17 points in 3 straight weeks, but 2 of them had last-second touchdowns, you know, really the most garbage of garbage time touchdowns. So I can't see Philly going into Green Bay and picking up a win. I love teasing it under 3. It's my other part of my teaser. I'm taking Green Bay minus 2.5 and Atlanta plus 8.5 is the teaser this week.
Yeah, love the teaser. That'd be the way I would go in this football game would be a tease Green Bay down. You're crossing 4 key numbers. You're in good shape.
All right, I got nothing on here, but yeah, was it the Falcons and Packers for your teaser, RJ?
I like that teaser, RJ. That's a good one.
Packers.
Falcons, Packers?
Yeah.
That's right.
I like it.
I'm gonna put that in personally. Personal play, you know, not a client play.
We don't have one game for the parlay yet.
Oh, we don't have one game for the parlay. Have we? what about the Lions? Oh, you like the Bears, Pete?
You like the 49ers, so we can't do the Bills.
Should we
Broncos maybe?
Yeah, Broncos plus 14.
I like that. We're all on that.
You like the Rams or the Cardinals?
Rams.
All right, let's make it Broncos plus 14.
Yeah, but RJ liked the Cardinals, I thought.
Yeah, I was kind of on the fence. It's just the value on the face looked like it's on the Cardinals, but Kyler doesn't look very good right now. He looks like he's banged up. So I wouldn't mind taking the Rams. I just wanted to stay away from this.
Okay. Well, let's do Rams, Broncos. And Falcons.
I added the Saints under. That number's come down so low now. 2.5 on the Saints. Amazing. But
are you okay with the Falcons, Kenny?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. It's hard for me to, I mean, that's such a low number, but if there's a good game for a letdown spot for the Saints, this is it. And, Taysom Hill really, you know, he looked good the first outing, and that was against Atlanta. Now against Denver, though, he did not look good. When I watched that game in the first half, I thought, how's either one of these teams going to score? So he may have problems second time around against the Falcons.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're letting you guys go after the break, unless you want to stick around for the rest of the games. I'm assuming you don't.
I'm ready for college hoops.
Yeah, and that's right. Yeah, college hoops starting soon. So it's either going to be the Falcons as the third leg of the parlay, or looking at the rest of the bets, the way RJ and I think, it's either the Falcons or the Giants Seahawks under. So you guys decide.
Yeah, it's a good trend I saw last week was same season home revenge within 2 weeks is 13-2 ATS since 2016.
Falcons it is.
And it's been over since the last 15 years. I think it's been over 60% with a much bigger sample size. But same season home revenge within 2 weeks of playing each other, 13-2 ATS.
All right, so Broncos plus 14, Rams minus 3. Falcons plus 2.5.
That's love it.
Podcast.
Love it.
Yep.
That's a winner.
RJ's teaser in right now, too.
Yeah.
Falcons, Packers.
Before it moves.
Yeah. That's a good teaser. Okay.
Because once RJ releases it, it's going to move a couple points.
That's right.
I already
released it. He's RJ White, man. He's RJ White. That moves.
Teaser of the week comes out on Wednesday, so just check in to CBSSports.com. It's already up.
It's actually moved the opposite way. All right. We're going to take a break. Say goodbye to Kenny and Pete.
See you guys.
I hope to get back. RJ and I'll rip through the rest of the
game. Give me my 200, Brinson.
See you in 2023, pal.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip. Maybe you're out camping in Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so Kenny and Pete are gone. Let's get through the rest of the games. Only have five games to get through. Cowboys and Ravens is currently off as we await the Lamar Jackson news. But Bengals-Dolphins is a go. Dolphins minus 11.5. Over under 42, RJ. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick versus Brandon Allen / Ryan Finley.
Yeah, Miami played a conservative offensive game against a bad team last week, and that game went way under. I think this is a similar game here. Since he should be similar, they're not going to score much against a Miami defense that's third in points per drive, especially with Brandon Allen at quarterback. So since his offense had just 155 yards last week, should have been their third straight game with 10 points or less, but they had that kickoff touchdown. Can't expect that again, obviously. Value on the Bengals, it's just the line is so high. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I don't trust the Dolphins' offense, but I like the under better. So under 42 is my best bet.
I like that a lot. God, 11.5 is a ton for the Dolphins. And the Bengals kept it close against the Giants, but I think that the
– it was kind of fluky, though.
Yeah, it was very fluky. And I think the Dolphins are better. I do agree with you. I think it'll be conservative. I think that under is a very good look there. All right. I have no play on that. This game, don't watch this game. But I do like the under. I think that's a good play. And also, we don't know if Tua could play. That's a little bit of a concern. Like, they could end up going to Tua. If they go to Tua, the under is a stone cold lock.
And that was one of the reasons that Jets loss hurt, because when we picked it on Wednesday, we thought Tua was playing.
He
said on Monday, he's still the quarterback. So there's no reason for us not to think that Tua would play that game. So that was one of the reasons I love the Jets, because I think that offense did not look good with him in there. And then Fitzpatrick plays and you're like, well, you know, so much. I'm not going to ask for a do over like Pete and try to get that game off my ledger, but you know, that's just what happens.
Washington at the Steelers. Steelers minus 8.5, over under 42.5. You like the Washington football team here, don't you?
Yeah, the Washington rush offense is hitting its stride, 346 yards in the last two games, and you need to run against this tough Pittsburgh defense to beat them. We saw the Ravens do it in that first game. They didn't beat them, but they, you know, it was a back and forth game. It could have went either way. That defensive touchdown really helped them out there. Plus, there's a huge rest advantage to Washington. Effectively, they get a bye with Pittsburgh playing their game 6 days later last week than Washington did. Washington defense is fifth in DVOA, sixth in points per drive. They can turn this into a low-scoring brawl that the Steelers have to play, like similar to that Ravens game that ended, 17-12. This could be a similar type of game here. Washington could even beat the Steelers. I wouldn't rule that out. 8.5 is just too many points here. If you can get it over a touchdown, definitely take Washington.
Yeah. It's a prime letdown spot. The Steelers aren't beating anybody good. Like, now the one concern I would have is that the Steelers will be able to pass effectively with their little dink and dunk stuff on Washington. I think that'll probably be something they can do pretty well. Ben Roethlisberger's getting the ball out very quick, and they have tons of weapons. The weapons didn't play great against Baltimore. Washington is a good. I mean, they're not a terrible team. Alex Smith will keep him in this. This reeks of like 17-14, yeah, final. Like a low-scoring grinder where the Steelers steal a win. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Washington ended up winning it. So I like Washington in this spot as well. Giants at Seahawks. Seahawks minus 10, over under 46.5, as I teased before the break. We're sharing a brain here. The under seems like a great spot. It's a higher number than you would think. Daniel Jones is not playing.
Probably not playing. We don't know at this
point. Why would they
play? As we're recording. He actually did get, I think, a little bit of work in practice, surprisingly, on Thursday. So maybe he does, but I would assume they put him at questionable or doubtful and then he just doesn't play. No reason to risk it here. So with McCoy likely starting, I expect Seattle's offense to be conservative and avoid mistakes and get the win somewhere like we saw to Miami's, last week, Pittsburgh last week. You know, it's just get the win and, don't make any mistakes. Giants pass offense is 28th in DVOA with Jones, and McCoy is certainly a step down, in that Seattle defense is coming on strong. Yep. So I do expect, you know, Giants to hardly score any points in this game. They'll want to run, but Seattle's D is third in yards per rush. So I think it's going to be a lot of trying to run, take the pressure off McCoy. Then you get in third and long and he throws incomplete and then you punt. So seems like a 20-7, 20-10 type of game that never sniffs the over to me.
Well, and the other thing too here is that the Seahawks have, over the last 4 or 5 weeks, they have been extremely run heavy. They have flipped the let Russ cook narrative on its head. Russ has a microwave now. Russ is reheating stuff later in the game. And he is not cooking. And as a result, they're going to run the ball a bunch early on. That doesn't play well against the Giants. The Giants are good against the run, or decent against the run. Leonard Williams is playing pretty good football too, by the way. And I also think James Bradbury, who just had a really good game against Mike Evans, will be able to at least limit DK Metcalf from running wide open in the field. All of those factors, the way both teams will approach it, lend itself to an under spot. So I love the under as a best bet here as well. Jaguars at Vikings. Vikings minus 10.5. Over under 52.
Yeah, I want to like Jacksonville here, plus 10.5, especially since it's 10.5 and not 10. Their offense looked much better last week with Glennon at quarterback, despite the absences at receiver, which we didn't know when we were talking up to Jacksonville. I remember I said I thought they would win or they could win, and they almost pulled it off. You know, they have 2-point conversion away from being a tie game. No turnovers by Jacksonville last week. That was the big key. Minnesota's been turnover prone lately, 7 in their last 3 games. Minnesota is clearly the superior team. They could easily blow them out here. So I can't feel confident taking Jacksonville at plus 10.5, but that would be my lean. And I don't love anything on the over or under either. Probably would lean over, but I'm just going to stay away from this game.
I got the over as the best bet here. I think we see a lot of points. I think Mike Glennon is a DFS play this week. I think they're gonna score some points. My guy Glenn's gonna toss it around a little bit. He is a huge step up from what's his name?
Jake Luton,
thank you. And you know, Doug Marone wants to win, so he's rolling out Glennon. Glennon's playing for some cash. I mean, if he plays well, he'll get more, you know, he'll have film and stats to throw out there when he's looking for another job in the offseason. Maybe the Jaguars want to bring him back. Who knows? That seems unlikely considering that we have, you know, Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, but, this is a big stretch for Glennon. So I think he'll play well. I think he'll sling the ball around. I think both teams will put up points and we'll see some big jailbreak plays from James Robinson and Dalvin Cook over 52 in this spot. I'd like the Jaguars as well. Colts minus 3.5 at the Texans over under 51.
Yeah, my lean here's to the Colts. I would want to get 3 though, so I'm not gonna play it. Watson's playing well lately, but this is Houston's toughest matchup since the bye. I'm not docking Indy too much for last week with those defensive absences late in the week. They are pretty banged up here though, so Costanzo might be out at left tackle. I don't have a ton of confidence in their offense. So
talk about moving Braden Smith to left tackle if he's out.
Yeah, and then you're getting 2 spots. So you're messing up 2 spots of the line because you got to replace your left tackle and your right tackle then, since the right tackle moved to left tackle.
Yeah.
So not great. And the center center I think is questionable. Yeah. I don't know if he's practicing yet. By the time you hear this, maybe the listeners will know better. So I just don't have a ton of confidence in that offense. So I don't want to lay 3.5. I mean, maybe you look to the under because I think that defense is going to bounce back. 51 is kind of a high number for this matchup. So, those are my leans, but I'm not playing this game.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I had the over in here. I'm going to take it off. I think I like the over before the Will Fuller news. I think Cooks will see a bunch of volume, and that's fine. And Watson can sling it around even if the Colts defense is good. But with DeForest Buckner and Autry back, there's too many concerns. The Colts love an under, and they can slow a game down pretty easily. So I would lean towards the Colts. But 3.5 makes me think that, you know, they want you to take the Texans. I think Indianapolis, Houston's terrible against the run. I think Jonathan Taylor could come back. He had a really nice game the last time out. Run really well against Houston. They can put the clamps down on Brandon Cooks to a large degree. And Deshaun Watson just won't have anybody to throw to. So I will take that best bet. I had the best bet over on the list. I'm going to take it off, and I would lean towards the Colts. As we mentioned, Ravens and Cowboys is off. I got to talk about a game that's off. We don't know if Lamar is playing.
Yeah, the super contest line for this when it came out was 9.5, Ravens 9.5. That obviously assumes Lamar would play, would be available, because you wouldn't put, lay 10 with, with Robert Griffin in there. Huge rest advantage for Dallas here, just like in that Washington matchup, but they're not playing that well, so it's hard to trust them as much as I would, as I do Washington in that matchup. So with no idea of who's playing, we know it's a stay away for us. If anything, speculative play on Dallas, if you can find a line like 9.5 now with Baltimore struggling and just not knowing about what's happening with Lamar, but I doubt you can find a line because, you know, they want to be confident he plays. So,
yeah. So we can't really give you anything until we know if Lamar is playing. So that's that. The parlay, we mentioned the Pick Six podcast parlay. It is Rams -3, Falcons +2.5, and Broncos +14. We hit our parlays so many times early in the season. It's been a few weeks since we gotten one. I will readily admit that, William Hill and CBS Sports partnered. They were our partners. They teamed up and, created a podcast parlay pick'em spectacular thing, spectacular, whatever. Anyway, you go to cbssports.com/parlay, and from Tuesday through Sunday, you pick five teams against the spread, and we give away $1,000 guaranteed every week. Odds provided by William Hill. I'm going to give out six teams. RJ will take one away, and that will be my five-team podcast parlay. I can't enter, but you can go toss it in and see if I'll win you money. I am 0-for on this contest since we started. Here are the teams, RJ. Rams -3, Jaguars +10.5, Jets +8, Washington +8.5, Falcons +2.5, and the Patriots as a pick'em.
Jets.
Okay, Jets it is.
I am not. Do not put real American dollars on the Jets anymore.
That's probably a good idea. They're literally like the 2016 Browns.
We got caught a little too often.
You tried to have the Browns every week.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah. I actually kind of like, I mean, Jaguars, Washington, Falcons, Patriots, Rams. I don't hate that parlay.
Yeah, I don't love a couple of those teams, but Jets are an auto pullout. Like once I was keeping track. I was like, maybe the Jaguars, maybe the Rams, and you said Jets. And I'm like, all right, done. Jets.
I don't even need to read the rest of them. I know what I'm pulling out. Here are the best bets from the podcast. Thankfully, I think Debo kept mine in there. I'm not sure. Pete has Atlanta +3, has the Packers -8.5, the Broncos +14, the Chargers is a pick'em, the Titans Browns under, and the Rams -3. Kenny has the Browns Titans over, the Rams, the Patriots is a pick'em, the Lions +3.5, the Broncos +14, the Bills -1, and the Raiders -8. RJ has the Pats as a pick'em, Lions +3.5, Browns +6, Bills -1, Miami Denver -42.5, Giants Seahawks over 46.5.
Under.
Green Bay, what's that?
Under 46.5.
Oh, sorry, under 46.5. Yeah, that's right. Teasing Green Bay Green Bay -2.5, and Atlanta +8.5, and Washington +8.5. I have the Lions, the 49ers, the Pats, Jags Vikings over, Giants Seahawks under, and I also have the 49ers, and I'm going to make sure I didn't miss one. 1 second. Said the Lions, 49ers. Oh, Rams and the Rams under as well. So I'm doubling down on that game. Two units on the Rams. Love the Rams this week.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? That's right. Cardinals in the over, it is. All right, that's the show. That's the Best Bets podcast. Last show of the week, unless something crazy happens over the weekend. RJ, always a pleasure, buddy. We will we'll be back on for the Sunday night recap. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. See you guys later.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.